Luke chapter 17, and I'm going to tell you what we're going to do. And you see this little wooden box right here? What I'm going to do, what I'm going to ask you to do, if you got a question about a subject, a question about a passage of Scripture, like we normally do, I'm going to ask you to write it down on a piece of paper, write the verse down, or write the question down about a doctrine or about something, and you write it down and put it in this box, and then for the next few weeks on Sunday night, I will cover the questions that you put in here. Well, the question we got tonight is what we're going to cover this evening, and we're going to cover it, Lord willing, unless He changes my mind next week, and probably the week after that too, because it's a broad subject. And I'm going to tell you what the question is. It concerns, will there be folks saved after Jesus comes? That's the basic question. We've entitled it another way in other places, where will there be people saved in the tribulation period? That's a good question. Now, I want to tell you something about this now, and don't let you get mad at me again. What's the standard? This is the standard. So this is what determines what we believe about this particular subject. Most people, I'm going to be honest with you, most people, most prophecy preachers and all these things, they take the position that after Jesus comes and there'll be a host of people saved, there's a second chance after that. There's a movie, a popular movie out that is called Left Behind. Some of you saw it, and they depict that in there. They depict Jesus coming and rapturing out the saints. Now, one way they depict it in that movie is it happens and no one knows what's happened. Now, I've always had a problem with that. I think it's going to be noisy when Jesus comes back. I think people's going to know what's coming on. I can show you all kinds of scriptures for that. But not, I'm just going to stick to this point tonight. So, the rapture happens and then you have a preacher that's left behind. And then he gets saved after the rapture and you got people being, a lot of people realizing they missed it and then they get saved after that. Others hold the position that there'll be 144,000 Jews saved in the tribulation. So I'm just giving you the different points of view. Now I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to give you 10, I'm going to give you 10 reasons why when Jesus comes, that'll be it. I'm going to give you 10 reasons. Now it behooves you then to take what I say and test it by the tester. That's what everybody's supposed to do. Just because someone ties a tie around their neck and cocks a Bible under their arm don't mean they're teaching you the truth. You have to take what they say, I say, whoever, and test it by the what? And search the Scriptures and see whether it's so. Now, I do think this is a scary teaching. You know why that is? Because I think it leaves people the idea, well, if Jesus will come today, I'll just wait and get saved after He comes. And I'm telling you, I think the Scriptures plainly teach that once Jesus comes, it's equivalent to the ark door shutting in the days of Noah. I think that's it. In other words, there needs to be a sense of urgency on your part. If you realize Jesus is coming and you're not ready, now's the time. And I believe to wait till after that He comes would be eternally too late. Are y'all ready now? Let's look at the Scriptures. Now, I'm going to give you my outline. I just wrote 2 points on the board, and you write these down, and then I'm going to give you the text. Here's going to be the 10 reasons, and I'm going to combine them down in half for you. Because of the 2 examples, I did this 2 years ago. 2 examples, 2 parables. 2 examples, 2 parables, 2 seals. Revelation talks about a 7-sealed book. I'm going to show you about 2 seals. We're going to look at the 6th and 7th seal. That'll be next week. 2 responses. I think the book of Revelation gives you the attitude of people that are left behind. 2 responses. We're going to look at 2 descriptions. And then we're going to look at 2 tribulations. 2 tribulations. Are you with me? That's what we're going to do. Now, all you need to remember is these 2 right here tonight. We're going to look at 2 examples and 2 parables. All right, now let me read our text. Everybody got their Bibles? Luke chapter 17. Let's begin at verse 26. And as it was in the days of Noah. Now, you're probably wondering why is Noah spelled N-O-E? Because The Old Testament was written in Hebrew. The New Testament was written in Greek. When you translate it over, it's spelled differently. But it's the same person. Okay? And it, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. It's talking about the day that Jesus comes is going to be like it was in the days of Noah. It says, they shall eat and they shall drink, they shall marry wives, and they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and the flood came, and he did what? All right, stop right there and look up here at me just a moment. Now, what did that text say? The day Noah entered the what? Once Noah was safe in the ark, the Lord shut the door, then what happened? The Lord destroyed them what? Destroyed them all. You see, there was a period of salvation there. It took him 120 years to build the ark. Did you realize that? They didn't have fire saws, chainsaws, and all those things. It took 120 years to build the ark. Noah was a preacher. He preached the gospel for 120 years. And for the most part, all but those eight that was in his family, they rejected the message. Okay? So when Noah entered the ark, does everybody see that? Once Noah was safe, you know God wouldn't destroy this earth till Noah was safe. Once Noah was safe, then he destroyed it. All right. Has everybody got that? Now, verse 28, it uses another example. See, we're looking at two examples. Example number two, likewise, also in the days of Lot, they did eat and they did drink, they bought and they sold and they planted and they builded. That same day Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. You notice in both cases, once the man of God was safe, once the people of God was safe, then God brought judgment. Now he goes on and says in verse 30, even so shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Are we waiting on that to happen? Now, I want you to see this. You know who's teaching in Luke 17? The greatest preacher that ever walked the planet. It's King Jesus. He's teaching. And he's talking to his disciples. He says, now, boys, here's the way it was in the day of Noah. Just the way it was in the day of Noah and just the way it was in the days of Lot. That's the way it's going to be when I come again. He says, Noah entered the ark. He made sure Noah and his family was safe. And once Noah and his family was safe, what did God say he did there? He destroyed them all. Now, it says Lot. He made sure Lot and his and two of his daughters, his wife got out. Of course, she looked back, and we won't go there. But he made sure Lot got out of the city. And once Lot was safe, what does it say he did? He destroyed them all. And you know what the Lord Jesus did? He's saying, just like I did there, like I did in Noah's day, like I did in Lot's day, that's how it's going to be when I come again. It's going to be the same way. You know what's going to happen before the Lord destroys? You know the Lord is going to destroy this world by fire. He's not going to do it by water. That's what the rainbow means whenever you see it. He's never again going to destroy the world by water, but He is going to destroy it by fire. But you want to know something's going to happen before He does that? He gets His people out. Just like He did in Noah, just like He did in Lot. Here He had all this judgment that was getting ready to fall in Noah's day, but before He destroyed it, you know what He did? He said, Noah, get in! Get in the ark. And then the Bible says the Lord shut the door. And once the Lord shut the door, guess what happened? It was shut. So once Noah got in the ark and the door was shut, it says in this text, He destroyed them all. Now, when you go into the same situation, once Lot was safe out of the city, went to the city of Zoar, remember the two angels said, we can't do anything till you're safe. And once the man of God was safe, once the people of God was safe, then fire and brimstone rained down out of heaven, and He wiped Sodom and Gomorrah off the planet. And Jesus said, that's exactly the way it's going to be when I come again. Before He destroys this earth, you know what He's going to do? He's going to make sure all these people's out of here. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that that's the way it's going to be? He's going to make sure every one of His people is out of here. Here's all this judgment getting ready to fall upon the earth. And the Heavenly Father looks over at His Son and said, Son, go get your people out of there. So he comes with a shout. Now listen now, he comes with a shout. He's coming with the trump of God. He's coming with the voice of an archangel. Does that sound like that's going to be a secret? It's going to be loud. The Bible says the dead in Christ will rise first, and then we will be caught up together with them in the clouds of heaven. See? Now, once we're in the clouds, he goes back to heaven. And once we're safe, he's going to do exactly what he did, just like he did in the days of Noah. And he's going to do just exactly like he did in the days of Lot. He used those two examples. Once God's people are safe, he'll destroy them all. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. All right. Verse 23. I'm sorry, verse 22. Let me read that too. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 22. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive, but every man in his own order. Verse 23 of 1 Corinthians 15. Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ, at his what? Now, Jesus is called the first fruits. You know why he's called that? Jesus was the first. Now, a lot of people say Jesus was the first to resurrect from the dead. No, he wasn't. Yeah, he resurrected three people from the dead when he was here, and there's people resurrected from the dead in the Old Testament too. Jesus was the first to resurrect, never to die again. He was the first fruits. Now, he was the first. He conquered sin, death, and hell. And then afterwards, they that belong to Christ, they will be resurrected at His coming. Does everybody see that? Of course, that's the day that the rapture takes place also. The dead in Christ rise first, then the rapture takes place. Now notice verse 24, what's it say? Then comes what? Then comes the what? Then comes the end. Timmy, did you see that? Just like in Lot's day, just like in Noah's day. God's people are taken out right before the destruction takes place. He gets His people out of here, and then He destroys them all. I think He's going to do just like He did in the days of Noah. I think that's why He used that. Who used it as an example? Jesus did. And if He designs us to go back and look at that example, you know, to me, I have to have an example, don't you? He goes back and gives you an example. Now, like it was in Noah's day and Lot's day, that's how it's going to be when I come again. I'm going to get my people out of there safe. And then I'm going to destroy them all. I think that's exactly what's going to happen. I think that's my first two reasons is these two examples. Now, if you got people saved after Jesus comes and after the saints are safe, that's not the way it was in Noah's day. Once Noah was placed safely in the ark, then judgment. Everybody got that? Once Lot was safe out of the city, then judgment. It wasn't once he was safe and then salvation, more salvation. No, it's not what it was. Once they were out and they were safe, then judgment. And folks, I think that's the way it's going to be at the second coming too. Now, if you got people being saved in the trib, or got people being saved after the saints are safe, that's not what you see in the days of Noah. You see, you got a problem. That's not what you see in the days of Noah. And that's not what you see in the days of Lot. You got a contradiction there. You say, well, the Lord's the one that used it as an example Himself. So you're going to have to rectify that with those two examples. I don't have to rectify it. I believe it. But you will have to rectify that with those two examples, because in both those examples, once the saints were safe, then the judgment fell. And there wasn't no salvation after it. That's what you see in those two examples. And you're going to have to rectify that with your view of prophecy. Okay? All right, you got that one? You want me to go back and do it again? So you go back and you look at that. You look at those texts. You look at that text in the book of Luke. And I think that's why the Lord Jesus uses that as an example. So if you're here tonight and lost, and you're saying to yourself, well, after Jesus comes, I'll just get saved then. Oh, my, that's putting stock in a vain hope, because that's not what you've seen. Can you imagine someone saying, well, I'm going to wait till the floods get up to my ankles before I get on the ark? Nope. There came a day when God said, Noah, get in. He shut the door, and it stayed shut. Same thing for Lot. And it'll be the same thing when the Lord comes. See what I'm doing? Now, I know that's real simple, but Jesus Himself is the one that used it as an illustration. So you're going to have to rectify your view with this. So if you got people being saved there, that's not the way it was after the saints were saved in Noah and Lot's day. All right? You ready for the two parables? Let's turn to Matthew chapter 25 now. It's Bible study. I mean, you got to have Bible study in order to grow. And you got to always check out what you believe. And this is the reason why I give you all these verses of Scripture. Two examples now, two parables. Now, this is the parable of the 10 virgins. I'm not going to preach the whole parable. But I'm just going to give you the main point of it. Now, everybody here tonight realizes we're waiting on the bridegroom to come, right? We all know, we use that terminology all the time in talking about Jesus coming. And that terminology is based on this parable, the parable of the 10 virgins. It's based on a Jewish wedding. You know, a Jewish wedding was interesting. It's a whole lot different than our weddings are. A Jewish wedding, the focal point is the coming of the bridegroom. Just did Stacy's and Tim's wedding, and poor me and Tim come in, and nobody really cared. But in the bride's march starts to play, and the door swung open, and Stacy and Mike come in, Mike Pell, but they come in, and everybody's like, oh, my. No one did that when I walked in. Or even when Tim walked in, because the focal point in our weddings is the coming in of the bride. Jewish wedding is not like that. The wedding will be, it was arranged between the fathers. That wedding be arranged, and then there came a day when the father would look at his son and say, son, go get your bride. You know what they'd do? They'd come in a procession. It looked like a parade. They still do it over there in Israel that same way. It looks like a parade. I was watching Zola one time and then heard a bunch of noise behind him. He said, well, that's just the wedding. And what it is, he's coming in a noisy manner. You got all these instruments and you got people singing. And you know what it is? It's the bridegroom coming in to get his bride. And it's a picture of the second coming. He uses a Jewish wedding as an illustration of the way it is going to be when Jesus comes. We're waiting. Folks, we're waiting on the coming of the bridegroom to get his bride out of here. Oh, God's people say it. It's what we're waiting on. It's a picture. Symbolism of the wedding feast. And it's given to you in Matthew 25. But I want you to watch this now. I want you to look at verse 10. And while they went to buy, it says the bridegroom came. Who's the bridegroom? Jesus. And they that were ready... Everybody say ready.
Ready.
They that were ready went in with him to the marriage. And the door was what? What's it say? The door was shut. Just about anybody. Well, I've seen some do something different with this to help it fit their theology. But this is clearly representing the second coming. Clearly representing the second coming. Once the bridegroom comes, Brother Coy, and gets his bride and takes her to the marriage feast, this text says the door is shut. The door is shut. Everybody got that? Doesn't say the door's open. It says it's shut. Now, if you got salvation after the bridegroom comes, you got the door still open. This text, God's Word, says it's shut. And if she's shut... She's shut. That's why there needs to be a sense of urgency about being saved. Jesus could come at any time. He could come tonight. He could come at 8:12. Time to be ready is now, after He comes. Folks, I believe the Scriptures are clear. It'll be eternally too late. And movies such as Left Behind leaves people with a vain hope. And I think that does a lot of damage. There needs to be a sense of urgency about your salvation. Let's keep looking at the text. Well, it says the door was shut in verse 10. After the bridegroom comes, the door is shut. And afterwards came also the other virgins. These are the ones that's not ready, Brother Raines. These are the ones that hadn't prepared themselves. You know what's interesting about these 10 virgins? It says 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. You know why 5 were wise? Because they knew the bridegroom was coming and they got ready. You know why these 5 were foolish? They knew the bridegroom was coming too. But they weren't ready. And He came in a day when they weren't watching for Him or weren't ready for Him. And He came and He took out His bride. And this text says that the Lord shut the door. And it says they knock on it. Look at the text. Look what it says. Afterwards they said, Lord, open to us. What does the Lord say, folks? And He said unto them, this is verse 12 of Matthew chapter 25, I know you not. So does that depict salvation after the bridegroom comes? No. It depicts the door being shut. Just like it was in the days of Noah. Uses the same terminology. In the book of Genesis it says, once Noah got in, God shut the door. Now all of us know that when God shut that ark door, that was it. That was it. We also know from the New Testament there's only 8 people saved. Noah, his wife, his 3 sons, and their 3 wives. We also know that Noah was a preacher. And as he would build, he would preach. And he would exhort people to repent and going in this ark. Oh, I imagine people probably thought, oh, there's plenty of time, but there weren't. There came a day when they looked for old Noah, and he was inside the ark, and the door was shut. And once the door was shut, it was shut. And here you see the same terminology used again in reference to a text, the parable of the 10 virgins, which is a picture of the second coming of Jesus as the bridegroom coming to get His bride. And once His bride is taken out, then she's shut. So right off the bat, those are 3. I'm not using the next one yet. But in the 2 examples, once the saints are safe, destruction, no salvation. You don't see that in any of those Old Testament. The 2 other destructions, you don't see that. In the parable of the 10 virgins, which pictures the second coming, once the saints are out, once the bride is out, then the door is shut. Does everybody see that? See it in all 3. Now, if you got people being saved after that, you have a problem with that parable and those 2 examples. Now, that's something you're going to have to rectify. You'll have to do that. I won't have to. I don't believe it. I think once the Lord takes these people out, that's it. I think that's it. Because of these 2 examples and because of these 2 parables. All right, let me show you the other parable. Are you ready? Let's turn to the book of Luke now, chapter 13. You enjoying the study tonight? I hope you are. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I've had folks get mad at me over this. I can't count the number of times. Sad preacher's crazy and all these things. Here's the evidence. Here's the evidence. You weigh it. Here's why I believe it. Now, if I could go to the book of Genesis and show you where the Lord opened the ark door back up and let people in, I'd say, yep, that's the way it's going to be at the second coming. But I can't do that, and neither can you. If I go to Lot's day and show you after he was saved that, you know, had other people come out of Sodom, I can't show you that either. Nor can I show you that in the parable of the ten virgins, and neither can you. Neither can you. All right, the book of Luke chapter 13. So this is called the parable of the straight gate. The idea of a straight gate is a narrow gate. We realize the way to salvation is a narrow way. You know that road's all Christ, though? That's what the problem is. That straight gate is all Christ. All Jesus. It's not halfway Jesus and the rest of the way you. It's all Jesus. It has to be all Jesus. All right? Notice what else it says. Enter in the straight gate, Luke chapter 13 and verse 24. For many, I say, unto you shall seek to enter and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up, you know who the master of the house is? We're waiting on the master to rise up and come back and get his people. Same kind of terminology that's used in the parable of the ten virgins. Once the master of the house has risen up and has shut the... Done what? There you have that door shut again. Once he's shut the door, and you begin to stand without and to knock at the door saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. And he shall answer and say, I know you not from whence you are. Isn't that the same thing you just read in Matthew 25? Two different parables depicting the exact same thing. Once the Lord comes, once the master of the house rises up, once he gets these people out, the door's shut. Let's look at verse 26. Then shall you begin to say, we've eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not from which you are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. Verse 28, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see. Look at this now. You know who Jesus is giving this parable to? He's giving it to the unbelieving Jews. And this parable is going to indicate there's not going to be any Jews saved after Jesus comes again either. Because he's given this parable to the unbelieving Jews of his day. Now look at what verse 28. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom, and you yourselves will be thrusted out. And I shall say, I love this text. Verse 29. And they shall come from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. And they shall sit down in the kingdom of God. You know who the east and the west, north and south is, don't you? That's the Gentiles. But here it depicts once the master of the house rises up and he comes and he shuts the door, there won't be no Jews saved after that either. There won't be no one saved after that. Okay? Well, those are two examples and two parables. What was the question? Will there be people saved after the Lord comes? What is most, about 90% of people think that they will be. And they have their graphs and all these things showing all these things. And that's fantastic. But I'm telling you, if you're going to take that view, you're going to have to go back in the days of Noah and show me it there, because Jesus links the second coming with that. Just like that was. See how it's going to be when I come. These two parables depict the same thing the two examples depict. Once the bridegroom comes, once the master of the house rises up and he gets these people out of here, both those parables shut. Shut. So something's not right. I'm telling you, folks, something ain't right. This has to all fit together. Do you realize the Bible will not contradict itself? Now, men's interpretation of it will contradict, but it will not contradict. And if you've got people being saved after Jesus comes, it contradicts these two things, four things. There's something wrong there. Okay? Now, I want you to turn to Revelation 6, and I'm going to prepare you for next week, and then I'm going to ask you to study these things. And then I'm going on, because I'm going to need all the time for that next week. Revelation chapter 6. I need me a piece of paper. Well, I got a notebook. I'll get a piece of paper out of that. All right. That's going to sound real good on the tape, isn't it? All right. Now, next week, what we're going to look at is we're going to look at two seals. Remember, I'm giving you all the evidence that once Jesus comes, that's it. And I'm going to give you something to think about for the rest of the week. In Revelation 6, you're introduced to a book that has seven seals on it. Okay? Remember how their books was? In that day and time, they were scrolls. This was their books. And they would use candle wax or something, or glue or whatever you wanted to use, and they would seal these. And this book has, I can't make to where you can see it, but this book has seven seals on it. Seven seals. Now, this book represents your future. The future of the redeemed. That's what it represents. And that future is sure, but before Jesus sets His kingdom up, these events is going to happen first. Each one of those seals represents events. Is everybody with me? I'm going to show you all this next week. Each one of these seals represents events. Now, Revelation chapter 6 goes with Matthew 24, Mark 13, and the book of Luke chapter 21. They all the same. They see the exact same thing, and we're going to look. So each one of these seals represents events. Now I'm going, for the best of my memory, do this for you. Seal number one represents false religion. About anybody you read after will tell you that. Now, not just one false religion, but a lot of false religion. I mean, these don't represent just one event, but a lot of events. False religion. Wars and rumors of wars is seal number two. Wars and rumors of wars. Famines and pestilence. Famines is number three. I don't know if that's the exact order, but another one of these seals will be famines. Number four will be catastrophes. Sickness, death other than by natural causes. They're represented by four horsemen, but each one of those are events, seals. Can I ask you something? Now I want you to think about something. Do you think we're waiting on wars and rumors of wars? I don't think so. How about famines? How about false religion? More false religion today than ever been in history. All of these events, these first four events you see happening, they're happening, they've been happening. Jesus told the generation that He was in, they would see these things begin to happen. And they will continue to happen all the way down until King Jesus comes. Everybody with me? The fifth seal is persecution of the saved. Speaks of the martyrs. It's under the altar. And they, how long, O Lord, holy and true, will you not avenge our blood on the earth? Martyrs. You know, there's a lot of martyrs today. Oh, folks, we learn to thank God every day for the religious freedom we have in this land. In the other nations of this world, they don't have it. Thousands and thousands and thousands of God's people are killed every year in other lands. You just don't realize how many. I read a report, and I haven't got to check this out yet, that more people died, martyrs' death, in the 20th century than in any other previous century before that. We didn't see it, but it happens in other lands all the time. We're not waiting on persecution to save. False religion and all these things. Wars and rumors of wars, famines, earthquakes. We see these things happening, do we not? And folks, you write this down for next week. We're going to look at two seals. Two seals. The sixth seal is when the sun will be darkened and the moon turned as blood, and that's when King Jesus comes. That's what we're waiting on. Now watch this. The seventh seal is the judgment, the tribulation judgment on the lost. Everybody got that? All right. Now that just sets you up for next week. That's what we're going to. I'll have you actually a better Bible next week to go by. But you'll have to come back and hear that. Everybody got this tonight? I give you two examples and two parables. Parable of the straight gate, parable of the ten virgins. And those are my first four reasons why I don't believe there's anybody saved after Jesus comes. Now, if you're here tonight and unsaved, I'm going to be honest with you, folks. I run into very few people that are atheists. Very few. Most people that I run into believe that there's a heaven. Now, I'm just being honest. Most people that I run into believe that there's a heaven and believe that there's a hell. And most of the people I talk to believe that Jesus is a Savior, is the Savior. And you know what? They plan on one day, before I die or before Jesus comes, one of these days, Jeff, one of these days, I'm going to trust Him. Remember, I had a mechanic in my office at work and had him trapped where he couldn't get out. No, he used to do this and used to do that. And I just turned around, if you knew you was going to die today, in an hour from now, if you knew, what would you do? He said, well, I'd want to get right with the Lord. I'd want to be saved. I said, you're not guaranteed no hour. There needs to be, listen to me, a sense of urgency on the part of you, if you know not Christ. The idea that you can be saved after Jesus comes leaves people with a vain hope. That's why I think movies such as that is so damaging. If what I give you tonight is right, and I think what I give you tonight is right if you check it out. Time to be saved. Time to get in the ark. That's why the door's open. Folks, the door's open tonight. If you're here tonight and you don't know the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior, you know, the Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 10 that if you, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He can wash you clean, give you a new life. You can get in the ark tonight. You can be ready for Jesus to come. You know, if He'd come today, I'm ready. Are you? Can you say that? I'm ready to see Him, ready to meet Him. If I die today on my way home, I'm ready. I know I'm ready. Do you know you're ready? But if you're like that man that worked with me, well, one of these, you know, I hate to do the funeral service of one of these days people. People come and say, Pastor, do you think they were all right? I don't know. I don't know. Never. I know they knew the way, and I know there's always hope when you know the way. But whether they trusted the way or not, I don't know. I point you to Christ tonight. Let's all stand. We're going to have a word of prayer. You come back and let's get the rest of these points next week. But if you're here tonight and lost,